right, here we go. It's the big day, the day we wait for since July, the heat of trade camp, the regular season, the postseason. It is Super Sunday, Super Bowl 58, the 58th renewal of the big game. And obviously, it may not be the matchup we wanted, but it's the matchup we're getting. Kansas City Chiefs looking for their third Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes. Their third Super Bowl in the last 4 years. A dynasty is basically ready to go for them. On the other side is the San Francisco 49ers, the NFC's winningest team since 2019, playing in their second Super Bowl in the last 5 seasons. But it's a different little deal. Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, the first Mr. Irrelevant quarterback to start a Super Bowl, trying to put himself as one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL if he can win this one tonight. This is a rematch of Ron Green from Super Bowl 54, so obviously a lot of counterparts and a lot of players from those two teams are still a part of this Super Bowl matchup. But the stories are designed are different. One, hopefully we won't have a pandemic afterwards, because there was a pandemic after that Super Bowl. Hopefully there won't be this time. But more importantly, legacies are on the line here. As I just mentioned, legacies are on the line. Is Mahomes about to be already considered one of the all-time greats, up there with the all-time greats as far as rings he's got? And then obviously, for Brock Purdy, does he become one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL? Which we probably already believe he is with the numbers he's already put up here so far in his young career. So your thoughts on this before we get to all the big deals, your thoughts. It's just me and Matt today. No Kwame, no John. It's just Matt and I today talking. So your thoughts.
Yeah, well, before we get to the actual matchups and everything, I will say, you know, it's for most fans of the NFL, it's a big day. You know, either for most fans, your team's not in it, just like us. But even so, it's kind of like a celebration, the end of the season. And obviously, if your team's in it, then it's a celebration. Hopefully for you, it's a celebration at the end of the game. For some of you, it's going to be a disappointment. But going in, you know, it's a celebration that your team's in it and you're playing for the championship. For me, it's a different type of celebration, I'll say that, which we've already talked about. But, you know, it's a celebration just of the end of the season and getting my Sundays back, because this season, like I said, man, worst season ever, just all around. Just not just the Eagles, which the Eagles contribute a lot, but just everything, man. Everything from pay-per-view playoff games to terrible refereeing to now the same exact Super Bowl matchups that I don't care about. Just everything, man. And, you know, I was thinking about it yesterday. You know, it's kind of the other thing that really got me this year, man. I think it's one of the big reasons why I'm burned out on football right now is just the schedule that the NFL gave the Eagles was ridiculous this year, man. It really ruined my Sundays, because I know they don't care about me, but or really any fans, but you know, nonetheless, I care, and you know, I value my time. You know, I value my time off from work, and they stuck us. We're an East Coast team. We play mostly East Coast teams. You know, we travel to the West every year a few times, but we mostly play East Coast teams. And you know, they stuck us with what is it, 2 or 3 1 o'clock games all season? Something like
three.
It was bullshit, man. I mean, that killed my Sundays, because let's be honest, in the morning I got my routine, and then we talk at noon. Usually the game's on at 1, and by, you know, 4 o'clock, I can do whatever. If I want to go to the beach or something, I can go to the beach or yeah, whatever. But instead, I'm stuck at home, because I'm sitting here waiting. We're done at 1 o'clock, and then, you know, 3 hours from now, the 4 o'clock games are starting, and I got to wait for the Eagles' 4 o'clock game to start. And it's like, well, I can't really go to the beach, because by the time I get there and everything, it's going to be time to come back. Yeah, I'd have a little bit of time, but still, you can't really enjoy it when you're sitting there watching the clock the whole time. So, you know, it just burned me out, man. Just having my Sundays taken away completely. I don't want to sit there. I mean, I like watching football, but I don't want to sit every single Sunday staring at the TV drinking beer, you know? I would like to watch the Eagles game and go to the beach or something, but and then maybe come back and catch the second half of the 4 o'clock games or and maybe the first half of the 8 o'clock the night game, you know, something like that. So yeah, it just burned me out. But all that said, yeah, it's for me it's just a celebration that the season's over and get my Sundays back. And you know me, I'm wannabe Howie here, so you know, I always enjoy the off season, the free agency and the draft season and all that. So that's one of my favorite times of the year anyway. But that being said, when in terms of this game, we'll talk about the matchups. But I did hear you say, you know, this Brock Purdy, you know, is kind of like an elite quarterback already. I don't think he is, to be honest. Even if he wins, I wouldn't put him as an elite quarterback because when I think of an elite quarterback, I'm talking about top five in the NFL. That's elite, you know. Not like some people are like you're talking about like the 12th, 15th best quarterback in the NFL. They're like, oh, he's a franchise quarterback. He's elite. It's like no. I reserve the term elite or even franchise quarterback for truly the best. And you know, even with a Super Bowl win, he's not top five. I'll tell you that. I'll name five off right off the top of my head that are clearly better. But even so, you know, he's had a good year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when you think about it, I mean, this season has been tough because, like I said, the Eagles, obviously, last year were really good. They should have been champions, but they weren't, obviously. But they were still expected to be back in the hunt. They were for most of the year, but when you're good, you get prime time and later after you start, compared if you're not. And unfortunately, you know, I understand your pain because yeah, 1 o'clock games, yeah, your Sundays are kind of messed up. You have to wait for the games. Sometimes you have to play prime time. I mean, it messed me up because I'm in the bowling league, and I had to miss three Mondays because of the Eagles. They were on Monday night 4 times this year, and it got more and more, and I got more sick of it each time to the point where it just. I mean, it got worse and worse and worse. So, I mean, yeah, this was a tough year to deal with. I mean, obviously, the Eagles season didn't go the way we expected it to go. Unfortunately, we didn't play well enough at all throughout the year. I mean, yeah, we won 11 games, but most of that is because we got by and other teams just struggled to figure us out until we actually did get exposed by those damn 49ers who are in this game. And after that, we just couldn't recover. We just fumbled the season away. And that sadly happens sometimes when you get exposed to a better team. I didn't think that. I thought the Eagles would be better off. I thought they'd be better than that, but they weren't. They barely got by, and when you get by, that's what happens. You get exposed, and you just. You know, people can expose your weakness, and then you can exploit it. And every team, basically from there on out, exploited our weakness to the point where Tampa Bay ain't that good a football team. But like I said, it's not about this team. It's not about them team. We're talking about the Super Bowl, so
Yeah, true. But I will say, man, before you move on to the Super Bowl and talk about the Eagles. You know, I mean, I wouldn't even say that they got exposed. You know, they got their asses kicked. It happens. They still had a ton of talent. And even though the coaching staff was incompetent, I mean, that's really what got exposed was the coaching, the offensive and defensive coordinators and how bad they were this year. But even so, like, what really happened was we got our asses kicked 2 weeks in a row, and these players showed their true colors. Things got tough, and they gave up. And that's the real problem, man, is we have a team of quitters, you know? So, I mean, last year we made it to the Super Bowl. There was no adversity. We blew teams out all year. You know, we lost a couple games when Jalen Hurts got injured and we sat him on the bench, but that wasn't going to blow your team up. You know, we were already the number one seed at that point. So, I mean, the bottom line, man, what really got exposed was the fact that these guys are quitters and something we need to make some changes. Oh, and by the way, with this in talking about the schedule, we didn't really get to we didn't really mention it on Wednesday, but we already know something about the schedule next year that isn't really
Yeah, the Eagles. Yeah, the Eagles are starting. They already know. They're the first team to know when they're starting. I mean, obviously, whoever wins tonight will know that they're opening the season. But the next night, the very next night in Brazil, São Paulo, Brazil, and I have to know about Brazil for my racing, is the fact that the Eagles will be playing one of their home games. They're actually going to take away one of their home games, and they're going to be playing in Brazil. Versus a said opponent to be named later, but
Yeah, so they're not doing us any favors, man.
and I have a feeling that game could be streamed as well. I mean, I have a feeling that that's going to be the Al Michaels Herb Street game, possibly.
Yeah,
I might be wrong,
yeah,
to
we'll
me,
see.
I whoop-dee, we're going to play. That's going to make Eagles fans excited. I mean, they'll be excited when that season, when the season begins, but the fact that they have to, you have to play an international game to start the year,
Well, the way the one thing
not a preseason
that's
game.
bullshit. What's that?
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, one thing that's that I think is bullshit too is I think this year we had 9 home games, right?
We had 8.
Oh, we did have a okay, so then next year we should have 9. Okay, so that's a little bit better. I was gonna say, like, if we only have 8 home games and they're taking one of them away, which basically is taking, that's not a home game, obviously. Then they only have 7 games actually played in Philly. That would have been BS. But if they got 9, and so they play one international game and then they just have 8 home games and 8 away games, that's okay, I guess.
Yeah, fine. That's fair. I
Yeah.
mean, as fair as could be.
Yeah. Yeah. In my opinion, with those international games, man, it should only be teams with the ho at least the home the team that's considered the home team should always be a team that has 9 home games that year. That way, they can still have 8 real home games.
But like I said, we don't have a lot of time to talk about these matchups, so we'll let's go right into these. Into these matchups, we also have prospects to do. I'm sure you have some as well before we make our actual predictions. So we're going to go into the tail of the tape. Now, normally I would have a few others on, Bob, but it's just you and I, so you're going to have to tell me what is the best matchup of each. You know how this goes. What's the best matchup of each? So we'll start with so we'll start obviously with quarterback.
Okay, so just you want to know, like, just Brock Purdy versus Mahomes. Yeah,
Like,
okay.
which is the best?
Yeah, okay. Not who has the better matchup versus the defense. Okay. So I mean, obviously Mahomes is the better quarterback. I mean, probably the best in the NFL, obviously. So, I mean, that's obviously a big advantage to the Chiefs. It's not even a question, you know. So that's not really, I'm not even gonna get too much into that.
Running game.
So, bottom line, yeah, running game goes to the Niners for sure. Christian McCaffrey is probably the best running back in the NFL, and on top of it, that's the Kyle Shanahan system is great for running backs. Add in the fact that Debo Samuel will get some carries too. Isaiah Pacheco's been good, but that's not even close. That goes to the Niners, and you never know anyway with the Chiefs. Did Andy Reid just come out and fire the ball 55 times and run the ball, 8 all game?
Wide receiver.
Wide receiver still goes to the Niners for sure. The Chiefs receivers have gotten better in the over the last like month or so. Definitely in the playoffs, Rashee Rice has come alive. He's a guy with some talent. But they don't compare it to Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. I mean, that's obviously not a comparison. And are you going to do tight ends, or are you going to separately, or do you want
Yeah,
me
I'm going
to?
to do tight end.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we do tight end. Tight end. Yeah.
Yeah, so you got two good tight ends for sure, Travis Kelce and George Kittle, but Travis Kelce's on another level. Kittle's good. Kelce is number one, obviously, in the NFL right now. And even though he didn't have as good a year this year in terms of his numbers, he's also come alive here in the playoffs, and he's been dominating. You saw him against your Ravens. What did he have, like 12 receptions or something? 7, 12, something like that. But I think he had 100% catch rate. So every target he made a reception, you know, so.
Yeah. All right, O-line.
Well, the Chiefs have the advantage on the O-line for sure. They have one of the best offensive lines in the league, but it's not as big an advantage as last year would have been. Like when, for example, when we talked into the NFC Championship game last year, and the Eagles obviously had a major advantage over the Niners on the O-line matchup because, you know, the Niners offensive line wasn't very good, and we saw that. But it's better. They've been better this year. They're not elite. They're just okay. But, yeah, the Chiefs have an elite line, so that goes to the Chiefs.
Yeah. All right. Now we go to the defensive side. We'll start with the front four.
So, yeah, the front four, these are two teams that can get after the quarterback, man. But it's also, you know, the schemes are a little bit different. You know, you're talking about a team that runs more of a 3-4 versus a team that runs more of a 4-3. So, you know, instead of just looking at it like that, I'm just going to put the whole front seven in the one. Okay, because just basically pass rush, but, you know, run defense too. But I'm going to put it in the one thing because it's hard to say, oh, well, the team with the 4-3 defense is better versus a team with a 3-4 on their line. So, yeah, I'm just going to put it as a whole front seven. And in that regard, you know, I think I'm going to give a slight edge to the Chiefs. It's tough. You know, the Niners have Bosa. I don't think Chase Young is worth much. But, I mean, they got some players. But then you look at the Chiefs, their defensive line's good, really good. They can get after the quarterback. Chris Jones can dominate in the middle. And then their linebackers are very underrated with Drew Tranquil and Nick Bolton. I mean, their linebackers are good too. And when you look at a guy like Steve Spagnuolo, which we'll get to, I mean, he blitzes a lot. So, yeah, they're I think definitely in the pass rush, I think the Chiefs have a slight edge.
Now, slow down here. If Steve Spagnuolo wins this game, if he wins this game today, I think this is going to be the fourth or the fifth Super Bowl he's won as a coordinator.
Yeah.
So would that put him up there as one of the great coordinators in the last 25 years?
Yeah, dude, it's tough with him, man, because, I mean, this year the Chiefs had one of the best defenses in the NFL. But normally with Spagnuolo, the years he's won the Super Bowl, it's like his defenses are like middle of the pack usually, and then they might come alive. They come alive in the playoffs, but they're really not that good. But he gets them to play in the playoffs, man. So it's tough. It's tough to say that for sure, but I mean the resume is there. You can't argue with the resume. So I would say I guess you got to put him up there.
Because here's the thing. Yes, you mentioned he has been the shaky times at times, and he has been perfect. Nobody's perfect or nothing like that, but this is probably the best defense he's ever coached this year.
Yeah.
Because look what the numbers they've done. And they're the only team, the Chiefs are the only team in the NFL that did not give up a 30-point team. Team could not score 30 on them, not once this year.
Yeah.
So you kind of look at it like, the guy, you know, Chris Jones obviously was very key, but you know, other guys on that team, that secondary was really, really good this year. That secondary was extremely good.
Yeah,
and that has to give a lot. That has to give a lot of confidence because normally it's Mahomes that carries this team, but I feel like this year the defense, this is the best defense he's ever had behind him. and it's obvious that I would say they carried him to a degree, but let's be honest, the defense played better than the offense did most of the year.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah, I mean, the truth is the defense is what has gotten them really to this point, you know. Mahomes has been good in the playoffs, obviously, but I mean, the defense is what's been won them games. Even the playoffs, the Chiefs didn't score any points in the second half against the Ravens. It's not like they're putting up 30 points a game on offense. It's the defense that's been shutting teams down.
And maybe the Eagles, the most impressive win of their entire season was that Monday night game against Kansas City, because when looking back on it, it's hard to believe that this team fell apart when we won that game, a game that we actually struggled and looked bad in for a while. I mean, that's still one of the most surprising wins of the year when looking back on it, because I don't know. I mean, the Chiefs are an interesting story this year, because normally it's about Mahomes and the numbers he put up, but this year was one of his worst seasons statistically. Yeah. Losses, yards, you know, that's the lowest he's been in his career, but here he still is playing in a championship, for a world championship. So it could have been as bad as it looked, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah, I know, man. And that obviously was one of the best wins of the season for the Eagles. I mean, they actually had a few, but that's just what makes it even more frustrating.
But that's the poor signature, because that shouldn't have happened. There's no way we should have beat the Chiefs in Kansas City. We were behind, too. It wasn't like we were in control or anything. But then again, I mean, this is going to be an interesting deal. Like I said, I mean, we didn't talk about special teams. Who has the better special teams here?
Oh, man, yeah, I don't even know, honestly. I don't even know who.
But also, when you look at this matchup for the head coaches, this is a legacy game. When you look at Andy Reid, he's looking for his third championship with Mahomes. And obviously, rumors are that this could potentially be his final game. I don't see it at the moment. I think he comes back for at least one more year. So, but I think that, you know, to put himself up there as one of the top coaches of all time, up there with the Belichicks and guys like that, is a big deal for him to get a third ring.
Yeah.
When you look at Kyle Shanahan, it's a legacy. I don't know of any. I mean, we've known pretty much every head coach that's won a Super Bowl mostly, but no, I don't think a father and son has ever won a Super Bowl, where a father's won and then a son's won. But also, he's got Christian McCaffrey in Denver 25 years ago when they won championships last two with Elway and all that. Mike Shanahan, his father was a coach, and Christian's dad, Ed McCaffrey, was the tight end. But he wasn't the top guy because it was Shannon Sharp still on that team, obviously. So he tried to do what his dad and Christian's dad did, win a championship together, just like they did. So that's something to think about as well going into this matchup. So
yeah,
a lot on the line here. A lot to think about when you look at all these storylines and scenarios. I know you may not want to watch this game, but there is a lot of intriguing stuff going on tonight that goes on. So, obviously, now let's look at our prop bet. What do we have for prop bet?
Yeah, man, I don't have much for prop bets, but I'll make up some stuff for you.
I got some though.
Yeah,
I might have a few potentially.
Okay. Well,
but you go ahead.
Yeah, I'll make up a few for you. So, let's do an over-under on Patrick Mahomes' touchdown passes today. I'm going to put it at 2.5.
I'm going to say under. I think it's going to be tough to pass on the 49ers. I mean, you know, to be the, like I said, you're looking at Travis Kelce try to get open. And if he can't get open, then you have to rely on that rookie Rashid Rice. We don't know if he can handle that. I mean, he could, But it's going to be very difficult. So I'm going to say under on that.
Yeah, I'm going to go over. I'm going to say he throws three. Mainly because if they're going to score touchdowns, they're going to do it passing the ball. I don't think Pacheco's going to run any in. So if they're going to score three touchdowns, it's going to be three passing touchdowns.
Yeah.
Let's go with color of the Gatorade, which is always a thing.
I'm going to say orange. It seems easy. I think it's going to be orange this year. Okay. I just think.
All right.
Just off the bat.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to go with the classic lemon-lime color. So it's kind of like greenish, but it's like yellow, I guess.
Greenish yellow.
I'm going to say lemon-lime. So I'll say yellow is the color. You know, you could go with red because, you know, both teams really are red, their main color. But, dude, everybody hates fucking fruit punch, you know? So I don't think either team's going to have that. Let's go with here. Let's go with an over under. You know what? Let's go. I'm going to make up an over under for the general score of the game. I'm going to put it at 52.
You know what's funny? This year, I'm like you. I really did not bet. I normally bet the over/under for points. I didn't do that this time.
Yeah.
All right, 52. I'm gonna say over.
Okay.
Something tells me I might have to bet that. I might have to go bet that.
I don't know if that's what the actual line is. I'm making it up, but it sounds about what it would be. And I'm gonna also say over. I think at least one of these teams is gonna crack 30. And then I guess I'd have to look that up. I wouldn't even know.
All right, I have some props that you don't care about, but you can give me a prediction.
Yeah,
give me a prediction. Now, Reba McEntire is going to sing the national anthem. She's known for doing it fast. Known for doing it fast historically, according to people. 90 seconds, over under, till do it in 90 seconds.
It was 90 seconds, that sounds long. So I'm going to go with under, if you're saying that she typically does it fast.
All right. I know, like I said, these are ones you probably don't care about, but you really won't care, but this is just idea deal. All right.
What about you?
Usher's performing in the Super Bowl.
Well, hold on, what about you?
What about me?
Over under.
I think it's going to be. I'm going to say over slightly. I'll try and time it if I can get to it.
You're saying what? Right. Under.
Over. Over.
Oh,
90
over.
Seconds.
Okay. Okay. I'm writing this down. We're going
to
see
Usher's
who has more.
Now Usher's performing in the Super Bowl. Over under. He has a guest or two guests.
Wait, who's that?
Two special guests. Usher is performing in the Super Bowl. Does he have two guests? Maybe one, but two. Over, under, two guests. Special guests joining him during the performance.
Wait, who's performing? Usher?
Yes, Usher.
Oh, okay. Well, typically they have a lot of different guests, so I'm going to go with over.
All right.
What about you?
Now, here's the one. I say over, too. I think there's going to be at least three. I think there's going to be three. All right, this one you don't care about. This is the one you care the least. I mean, those you don't really care about, but this is one you won't care the least. Taylor Swift will be there. He will be there tonight. So, he's win the Super Bowl. They win it. Over or under. Travis Kelce puts the whole deal together. He proposes to her.
Yeah, it's. I was actually. I'm trying to find one. A certain Taylor Swift prop bet too. I don't know if it's even an option. But for that, I'm just gonna say no.
All right.
What about you?
I would say neutral, but that's not a guess. So I'm gonna say under two, because one they have to win for that to happen. One they have to win.
Yeah, right.
And if they don't win, then that probably doesn't happen. All right, coin toss.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the coin toss. I always go heads, man.
I'm going to say tails. Just to go against you.
All right.
And over under, game goes to overtime.
I'm going to say no.
All right. I say under two. Because there's only one time in NFL history that's happened. One time in the history of this game has happened. We all know. Kyle Shanahan should know. He was a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, I can't find it, man. I was trying to find a Taylor Swift prop bet for how many times they actually show her on TV, but I can't come up with a number. And I don't.
Five times. I'll give you one. I'll give you one. Five times.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. We can just make a number.
Over under five times.
Oh man. Oh, that's gonna be over. Oh, tell you what.
Yeah, I won't even know. That's gonna be a hard number.
I'm gonna do. Right, well, let's do this. I don't know if maybe this information will be out there. Maybe it won't, and this won't matter. But let's make up a number. How many times do you think they'll put her on, and whoever gets closer wins?
I'm gonna say eight times.
Eight. Okay.
Eight. Might be more. I might be a little under, but I'm gonna say eight times they show her on TV.
Well, I am gonna almost double you, and I'm going to say 15.
All right. Now, this is the one. This is the funniest one I'm going to give you. This is the last one, and this is the funniest one. Tony Romo. Is CBS doing it? And you're not watching this, so this is going to be tough for you. This is going to be tough for you. You have to watch the highlights because you're going to be busy doing whatever. Tony Romo mentions them mistakenly as husband and wife.
I don't know, man. I'm going to say no.
Because, you know, Tony Romo's done that this year in a couple of games. He mentioned him as husband incorrectly as husband and wife or something.
What about you, man? Yes, no?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. I think because this is the Super Bowl, and reports that CBS been under scrutiny because of how Tony Romo's been calling games this year, allegedly, or some BS. I know we don't really care about the commentating him and Jim Nance, but they've been an interesting couple this year, and an interesting duo over the last few years. And this is their third Super Bowl they've coached. They're calling. This is their third Super Bowl they're calling. So already, so. I don't know. All right, well, we've covered most of the bases here, so, you know. All right, let's get to the matchup. Let's go ahead. Let's make our prediction.
All right, man. Well, when it comes to this game, you already mentioned that the Chiefs haven't allowed 30 points in a game all year. But when it comes to this one, man, here's the way I see it. It's going to come down. I think the 49ers defense will do a good job of containing Mahomes and that offense. Even though I picked Mahomes to go over to throw three touchdowns, I think that's all they're going to get is three touchdowns and a couple field goals. It's 27 points. I'm looking at how is the 49ers offense going to do against that Chiefs defense. And that's going to be the key matchup for me, man. It's just Kyle Shanahan versus Steve Spagnuolo. The way I see it, though, and this is something that I've been screaming about all season for the Eagles. You know, when you're going up against a blitz-heavy team, you need to have you don't just come out and run your plays like normal. I mean, you should be running misdirections. You should be running a lot of pre-snap motion. You know, have these plays designed to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quickly, and two players that have space to make plays with the ball in their hands. whether it's a running play or a passing play. You got to get the ball in your playmaker's hands, and you got to do it by creating opportunities for him, especially when you're talking about a blitz-heavy team, you know. But if you can start to confuse them, and if you can start to and you start making plays, they're gonna have to back off that blitz, and then you can start doing more stuff. But in general, you just gotta you can't just run your regular plays because you're gonna drop back and your quarterback's gonna be hit a lot. But if you start running that motion, you start running misdirection runs, counters, you know, stuff like that. Throw some, get some screens in there. You can take advantage of a team that's over aggressive, and I think that's what the Niners are going to do. I think Christian McCaffrey's going to have a big game. I think Debo, they'll get the ball into his hands and he'll make plays, and Purdy will just do what he does best, which is just manage the game and get the ball out quick. They're not gonna. He's not gonna have to do too much. He's just gonna have to know where to go with the ball before before the plays, the ball's hiked, which obviously that's not just easy the way I'm presenting it, but still, that's what he does. That's what he does best, and that's what they're gonna do. And I think with that matchup with the Chiefs being a blitz-heavy team, I think it's gonna play right into the Niners' hands because that Kyle Shanahan offense is all about pre-snap motion and getting that ball out to your playmakers quickly and letting them do the dirty work. So I think this matchup is very favorable for the 49ers and their scheme. And one thing, man, that we know about the Niners, if they get up on you early, they can pile up points quick. And when they do get up early, man, they do tend to pile up points. Now, if the Chiefs get up early on them, again, the Niners have made some comebacks here in the playoffs, but I still think that they're a team that if you get up early on them, the wheels could fall off. But I think the Niners are going to come out. They're going to move the ball early and often. They're going to score points. And by the time we get to the fourth quarter, the Chiefs are going to need a big comeback to try to win that game. And they'll move the ball, like I said. Mahomes will get three, throw three touchdown passes, but it's not going to be enough, man. 27 points is not going to be enough. I got the Niners winning this one 38 to 27.
38 to 27.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, this is going to be one of those matchups. Well, the Eagles should know they play both of these teams, and they've seen the best and maybe the worst, but not really the worst for the 49ers unless you think about the first quarter of that game. But this is going to be interesting because, really, if you look at the trends of these teams, the Chiefs do sometimes get off to a slow start. And you're right, the 49ers, they're the designated road team tonight. They're the designated road team. So them on the road this year was better than them at home. The 49ers at home wasn't as good as the 49ers on the road was this year. If you look at the 49ers on the road, they just bum rush teams. But at home, they barely got by with some of their matchups. And when you look at the Chiefs, obviously, yeah, their offense had to, like they're like the Eagles. Their offense was stale at times because they don't have the necessary weapons. And I mentioned during the season, you know, Mahomes would love to have a Deebo Samuel or a Brandon Ayuk or Christian McCaffrey running the ball because he would be even uneven. That'd be an untouchable offense. That'd be 2007 Patriots-like offense. But he doesn't have that, and Purdy does. But Mahomes has the defense he's never had before, ever, in his entire career. And this is a defense that comes to play in every game this year. They get the stops. They get the unnecessary turnovers. I mean, Purdy has been immune to turnovers this year. You know, he struggled with turnovers at times in this postseason and recently. And they got to get to him. And I think this is going to be one of those games where I think the 49ers will take off early, but the Chiefs are just the history. Now, remember, these two teams met in 2020 and 2019 Super Bowl. the Chiefs were down 20-10, and they won 30-20. He scored 21 points in the fourth quarter. And I think this kind of game comes back to it. Because remember, it's Kyle Shanahan versus Steve Spagnuolo. This is a matchup that's happened before in the Super Bowl. This is not a first-time matchup. And to me, Spagnuolo has a better defense. I think Shanahan's going to have to find a way to out-coach Spagnuolo. And something tells me he won't. Because we've seen Kyle Shanahan in the Super Bowl coach before, and it always ends in the wrong direction. It looks like he's going to win, but it doesn't end that way. And I think the third time won't be the charm tonight. I think that Kelce will have a strong, I think, second half of the game where he becomes untouchable or unblockable. And I think that, you know, the 49ers will be tough, but I think this is a game where, once again, the Chiefs come from behind. They find a way. And I just think the 49ers, even though this is their call in the postseason, has come from behind. They came from behind to beat both Green Bay and Detroit. But Kansas City is a different organization, a different deal. This is the best of the best. There hasn't been a repeat Super Bowl champion in nearly two decades. Well, that trend's going to end tonight. The Chiefs will be world champs for the third time. So I'm going with Kansas City and the final score. I'm going to say this. Kansas City wins the final score 31-27, and I'm going to go defense for my defense for my MVP. I'm not going to go with Mahomes. I'm going to go with Chris Jones. Now, okay. If the 49ers win, and I'm not picking the 49ers win, but if they do, Deebo Samuel is the MVP. He'll be the MVP.
Okay, well, you made two, but I'm only writing you down for Chris Jones because you have to pick one or the other. So
yeah, because I'm picking the Chiefs to win the game. So yeah. I'm going to go with Chris Jones. I think he has a three, potentially 2.5 sacks, gets a fumble maybe. I think this is the game where he goes off.
Yeah. Okay. And Kwame, you said he picked Mahomes for his Super Bowl MVP.
So who's your MVP? Who's going to be your MVP? You got the 49ers winning, so who's your MVP?
I got the 49ers winning, and like I said, I expect a huge game out of Christian McCaffrey, so I'm going with Christian McCaffrey here.
All right.
And by the way, we also, just so we know, back at the beginning of the year, we made picks for all the awards. The awards came out. I'm not going to go through each pick today. We'll do that when we talk on Thursday. But Kwame and I got two award picks right. You and John got one. So Kwame and I have to have a tiebreaker here. So the tiebreaker is going to be Super Bowl MVP. And if neither of us get it right, then it's just going to be a tie for the season. But whoever picks it, if one of us gets it right, then we win the season for the award picks. One thing that I know you mentioned, like Mahomes doesn't have as much, and you know, I will say, like, this is something that I always find funny, man, is I find it funny when people say the type, like, something about, like, they try to downplay Gruden's Super Bowl, and it's like, oh, well, he won with Tony Dungy's team, and I just always say the same thing. How come do you think Tony Dungy's a great head coach? And they'll be, oh, yeah. Okay, well, how come Tony Dungy didn't win a Super Bowl with his team? How come they needed to bring Gruden in, you know? So, but it's the same thing with Mahomes. There's always this argument people make. Oh, well, you know, if Mahomes had the weapons that Joe Burrow has, he'd be unstoppable. It's like, yeah, but that's not sustainable, first of all. But even so, if he wouldn't have what he does have. He has an elite offensive line. He has one of the, and possibly the best tight end to ever play the game. He has a head coach, aka offensive coordinator, in Andy Reid, who does a much better job than what Joe Burrow is working with his head coach / offensive coordinator. I mean, Andy Reid, obviously, he gets the most out of every quarterback he ever coached, you know? So, I mean, you can say, people can say, well, if he had all these weapons, But he also he wouldn't have what he has. He would just have receivers. He wouldn't have an offensive line. He wouldn't have a coach that's gonna design the offense to really maximize him, you know? So, and by the way, you know, Joe Burrow, again, you can't pay a quarterback $50 million and then pay a whole bunch of receivers $20 million a year each. Joe Burrow is gonna probably lose T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd this offseason. So, you know, an insane group of receivers only lasts you a couple years until they're due for big deals.
Yeah. Even though we're bringing up another team.
Yeah, it's another topic, but still, we're talking about Mahomes somewhat. So, you know, it's just something that bothers me when people make these stupid, like, general comparisons without, like, actually taking into account, like, everything and just trying to make a
Yeah.
point that, like, you know, they're trying to basically push their own agenda and using some stupid argument to make a point.
Yeah,
And it's like, your argument doesn't make sense, dude.
money is what goes in this business, and especially in this game, you know, because if you don't get your money, things aren't going to go well. It's just the way it is. I mean,
Yeah.
but
Yeah, I mean, even
that's
the
all we
Eagles,
have
man.
for.
Sorry. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, but real quick, even the Eagles, I mean, you could make the argument, oh yeah, you could put Patrick Mahomes on the Eagles and he would be unstoppable with, because the Eagles actually do have an elite offensive line and weapons and all that. But even so, that's not going to last, man, because DeVonta Smith is due for a contract extension and AJ Brown is a diva and we have a lot of money invested in the offensive line. And we can't pay everybody $20 million a year. So, again, like I said, something's
Yeah.
gonna have to give at that with that wide receiver. Either DeVonta Smith's gonna get paid or AJ Brown's gonna get paid. But one of them, whether it's this year or next year, one of them's gotta go.
Yeah. Because, like I said, and I mentioned this on Thursday, on Wednesday show, it's all in for Eagles and Cowboys next year. If they don't succeed, if this is another underachievement, no playoff wins or anything like that, there will be changes. There will be many changes. Changes nobody will like for both of them. So
Yeah,
that's
well,
just a year of reckoning for both of those franchises.
I think
But
when you look at the
that's
Eagles,
both.
though, man, you know, we saw this year with Sean Desai and Matt Patricia, the Howie Roseman, whether it's good or bad, whether it's right or wrong, obviously Matt Patricia wasn't a good move, but he's gonna always have his backup plan in place, whether it's that or at backup quarterback or whatever. They brought in Kellen Moore to run this offense, and if they're not happy with the job that Nick Sirianni's doing early in the year, I wouldn't be surprised if he by midpoint of the year he gets canned and Kellen Moore becomes the head coach, because he's a guy that's had a lot of in the past a lot of head coaching buzz. You know, he's a well-respected offensive coordinator in this league.
Well, like I said, we'll obviously have more of this discussion on Thursday. Like I said, that'll be our live show, our last show of the season for this season, and a lot to look forward to, live announcements and some interesting. Hopefully, we'll have a crowd. We'll see. But hopefully, y'all enjoy this game. Your team, maybe your team will win. Hopefully, we'll see. But that's all we have for this episode. This final preview of a game for the 2023 year. And like I said, join us for the final finale show of the season. Look back Thursday.
Yeah, bro.